I hear good. This is Instant Illumination. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. With Instant Illumination, I hear good. Now, that could be looked at in several ways. I hear good, in other words, my hearing is fine. Or, I hear good, I only hear things that are good, of good report. Think on these things, as Paul had told us. Hear things of good report. I hear good. What does that mean? What does it mean to hear good? All around us, every single day, people are saying things. People are having attitudes of mind. They're having attitudes of the world and things like that. Just this morning, I said to Ingeborg, I'd like a half a glass of water in front of me so I can have something to drink in case I want it. And so Ingeborg went to the sink and she turned on the water and out came some very nice warm water. And so Ellen and Sylvia said, no, make it cool water. So Ingeborg make it cool water. And then she made nice cool water. And then she looked at the glass and said, whoops, I put in too little. So she put in a little more and made it just the perfect half a glass. Now, why did Ingeborg bother to make it just a half a glass when I asked her to make it a half a glass? Because Ingeborg hears well. She hears good, right?
Yeah.
And she chose to do what I asked of her. Now, truly, it doesn't make Tinker's Dam whether I get a half a glass or two-thirds of a glass or a quarter of a glass. It's just something to wet my whistle. And I could go and get it myself, too. I wouldn't have to ask anybody else to do it. But I asked Ingeborg, and Ingeborg lovingly went to get it for me because she hears good. Now, what did she hear? Did she hear, I wanted water? And so she took whatever came from the sink and said that would be good. Or did she hear that I wanted water that I might want to drink? And so she wanted to make it cool and pleasant. Well, Ingeborg was listening with another part of her heart. Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg were always saying, Herb, your throat is a little raspy. You should have some warm honey and milk and some warm water and something like that to make your throat more patient. And so Ingeborg was responding to that too, thinking about some warm water that would make my throat just very mellow. And so, you see, when you hear good, you don't always... Everybody else doesn't always recognize what you're hearing, because we all hear a different drummer and we all hear it from a different point of view. And some might hear that I want water, so they'd get me water. Some might hear that I want warm water to assuage my throat, and so they'd get me warm water. Some might get me honey and water, or honey and milk, to make my throat honey and milk. And you see, all these things are according to how you hear. Now, was Ingeborg wrong in bringing me warm water? Was Ingeborg wrong in bringing me cool water? Was Ingeborg wrong in bringing me a half a glass? Was Ingeborg wrong in bringing me more than a half or less than a half? Was Ingeborg wrong on any of these things? Whatever Ingeborg heard is what she responded to. Whatever we hear is what we respond to. And it's not a matter of good or bad or wrong or right. It's what do we hear. So now, was she hearing warm water, honey milk? Or was she hearing water for me in giving the talk here so that I would have something to wet my throat if I wanted to? Well, what was she hearing? Now, we don't know what's inside of Ingeborg, but we know what's inside of ourselves. And so we look at what the other does, and we say, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that, they should have done something else. Well, now, are we right in saying what others should have done? One of the big problems in our life is our nose, and I've said this often. Our nose gets in the way of logic and reason and balance and harmony and peace and love. We have some dear friends who... we're not getting along well, and so they're contemplating a divorce. And in contemplating the divorce, they are giving more attention to their child than they had ever given in their life. Up to the time of the child's 8 years, they had paid attention to him. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. You did this here. Yeah, and never any real love. It's just not that they didn't love the kid. It's that they didn't really love the kid, you know, to really go out and do it. He was just there around the house like each of the family members were around the house. But the moment they started to contemplate separation, then each wanted to make the boy feel that he was loved and appreciated and wanted. Now, what was the boy hearing when he got this? Before, it was just that's the way the family was. No, not much attention, not much caring, a little bit of sharing now and then, but nothing great. But the minute they're starting to separate, all of a sudden, mommy starts loving the kid like he was never loved before. Daddy starts loving the kid like he never loved before. Daddy takes the kid to all sorts of activities that daddy's going to. Mommy takes the kid, perhaps, to activities that she's going to. I don't know what activities she goes to, but I'm sure that there's some that she goes to now. But she starts giving him personal, loving attention. Now, what is that? We hear, oh, gosh, they're separating. That's terrible. What's the most wonderful thing in the world? For the first time, their son was starting to get unconditional love. Not because the parents wanted to manipulate him or control him, but because they just dearly loved him, and they just realized, hey, I'm not going to have him around all the time. He's only going to be part-time with me and part-time with them, you know, with the other part of the separation. And what do we hear? We hear, oh, terrible, oh, how bad, oh, how evil. And yet, if we really listen with our logical, intelligent minds, if we do really listen with our unconditional loving minds, you know, they're sometimes a little different, we'd find that a great deal of joy is taking place in that family for the first time in many, many years. And that's, what do we hear? We hear, gee, that's terrible. Gee, that's bad. Gee, separation is ugly. And maybe sometimes separation is a very necessary thing for life to go on in a happy, harmonious way. But what do you hear? You hear whatever your stinking consciousness, whatever your beautiful consciousness is. If your beautiful consciousness is, hey, whatever they do is their business. Hey, however they handle their life is their business. Hey, whatever happens to the kid is their business, you know. I bless them. I love them. I see good for them. But I keep my nose out of it. I don't say, they should do this or they shouldn't do this or they should do this and they shouldn't do that. I keep my nose out. And when I keep my nose out, then all sorts of magic takes place. Then whatever is in the divine pattern, and surely it's a divine pattern, takes place. And I don't have to have any, gee, I never thought that that'd work out like that. Gee, I never thought good would come out of this. I never, you know, and we get our nose in there so badly that we want it our way because that's tradition. That's what life says. Anyone who gets a divorce is doing terrible things, and that's what they feel. That's bad enough. But they're doing what they feel is right. Well, what else could a person do than do what they feel is right? But we hear it in an entirely different way. There's never been a divorce in our family. There's never been a separation in our family. There's never been a wife that walked away from her husband in our family, or else she'd get beat up or something. Hey, where'd you say that? Where'd you hear that? Oh, he never heard it. But the threats are there. The threats are there that we don't hear. And sometimes anybody who lives their life under a threat shouldn't. Anyone who lives their life under a threat from their partner or their friend, their relationship, whatever it may be, shouldn't. They should split it as quick as they can. Now you say, you mean they should get a divorce just because they're threatened? Well, my mother went through a situation like that. And she wanted to do her spiritual studies, I've told you before. And my dad felt that she should spend more time on the house and on the kids and not needing a maid and these other things. And so my mother just told him one day, she says, sir, if I don't have time for my spiritual study, I'm going to leave you. and I'm going to leave the kids with you. Well, immediately he changed his mind, and he realized that she could have a maid, that she could have help in the house. She could have a room all to herself for her spiritual studies. And mother just continued being the fabulous woman that she always was, but she had 3 hours a day for her spiritual studies. 3 hours a day, my God! Hey, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to take 3 hours a day for your spiritual study? How many of us would have been able to stand up to something like that and say, hey, I've got to have my time? Now, when kids go to school, we don't think anything about them spending 3 or 4 hours in the evening doing their homework. We don't think anything about their going off to school all day long and not being in any productive way bringing money into the family. That school is necessary. That school is part of growing up. And we should also think that part of growing up is keeping our nose out of other people's business and perhaps even out of our own business. What is one of the most wonderful statements that was made in the Bible? Let go and let God. Now, that's stupid, isn't it? To let go and let God. We should wait till God makes up his mind? Interesting, isn't it? But when we let go and we let God, we let the divine in us reveal to us what is right, we have to listen. We have to listen and hear what the divine says. Because oftentimes we're not listening to what the divine says, and then we're unhappy. We feel, my goodness sakes, you know, why isn't it happening? And we don't listen. We don't listen. We have 3 hours every day set aside for introspection on campus. And do we use it? We have half an hour, 3 times a day, set aside for study. Now, who's studying on campus? All of you are graduates of all the courses. Now, what are you studying? Are you giving that half hour dedicated to studying the textbooks and studying the program of the university? If you are, that's great. If you're not, you're not hearing right. The 3 half hours for studying your coursework. You know. But I'm all done. Well, then review it. And review it. Because as you review it, great things happen. Now, many times people say, well, I'd like to read this book, and I'd like to read that author. I'd like to read what these people say. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. You're not following the rule. You're not following the program. And you're not going to get the result. And, well, shouldn't I ever read something by somebody else? Well, certainly. Take all the time you want to read something by somebody else. And you will find they say the same thing we do in a little different way. And you'll end up judging them. I have never seen any of our students who have not read the writings of other people, exquisite people, and then they say, well, they write almost like you. They almost say, I am God, God I am. They almost, you know, and why waste your time? Why waste your time when you can be online totally by saying who you are at all times, listening to the divine within at all times? You say, well, gee, you know, that's no fun listening. Well, then you're in the wrong business. Because the greatest joy you'll ever have in life is not listening to the divine within.
To be in love with the divine.
Not listening to the divine within. What?
Speak.
Hearing. That's what our talk is right now. Hearing. When you hear it, wow. Yes, listen to the divine within, but hear it. Hear what the divine says to you, how it directs your life, how it says, put a smile on your face, and start writing some happy songs. Start doing some things that are really wonderful. And Ellen?
Yes.
We will set aside the gist, and we will not publish another gist until we get the joy songs printed up first. You hear me?
Yes.
Not another gist comes out of this place until the joy songs are done. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, did you hear me?
I heard you.
Now, why is that important?
Because we have it put in motion.
Because wherever we go, everybody wants to sing the joy songs, and we haven't any copies for them. Everybody wants to learn those things, and we don't have any copies for them. And we think that it's a good idea. So, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, who's responsible?
Me.
Thank you. So, go for it. Now, do you hear me?
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too.
Have a wonderful day. Think beautiful thoughts. Mm-hmm. And know that everything is going your way. I love you. I love you. I love you. Mm-hmm.